First Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. And don't make me have to separate you two. Good morning, everybody.
No solemnity at all.
Yeah, I know. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now I'm just going to stop right there. I like this scripture an awful lot. And this kind of got on my mind about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Mostly, the be ready to give an answer part. But then as I was reading it and figuring out where I'm going to start to read and then to get to where I'm going, I read that first part where it says, where is it? For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. I wish some days I could refrain my tongue. You know that whole unruly member stuff they talk about? That's true. That is so true. The tongue is an unruly member. And I wrote it down here. And how? I can't remove my tongue. I really don't want to. But I need to learn to refrain from some things. And actually, to be honest, and not to be boasting, I am better than what I used to be. Because there was a time when my tongue would cause trouble. Just mostly, it seemed like for trouble's sake. Because you know the old saying, open mouth, insert foot? I could do that. And then, once God saved me and taught me just a little bit, I would let out some things that I should have kept quiet about, if you want to know the truth about it. Because it's part of this thing where it tells you suffering for righteousness' sake is a good thing. Now, suffering because your tongue is an unruly member is not necessarily a good thing. Hopefully, you'll learn from it, and hopefully, it won't take you as long as it did me. Because when you're dealing with people about Jesus Christ, and you talk to them about it, and I have seen this personally, with my own eyes, when people seem to realize what you're saying and they realize you might have a little bit of truth, it states it right here. It says, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Then he continues on and says, and be not afraid of their terror. People are afraid of the truth once it's revealed, because they're afraid it is true. And what you're saying, Mason, is right. And my God, you can find out. You'll see just a little bit of the fear of the Lord. But it doesn't take. It doesn't stick with them. And mostly it's just abject fear. And I have seen it in people's eyes. And it is there. Because they are the ones that are terrified. Believers are not. They are terrified because of their lack of Him. They have no comfort. They have no, if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And that doesn't mean you're going to go through life saying, la-di-da-di-da, you know, I'm happy, please punish me. But the believer knows suffering for righteousness' sake, for the cause of Christ, for the truth of Christ, it is a good thing. It does cause you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It does actually reveal in you, when you are persecuted, that you do trust Him. That no matter what anybody says to me, even when I'm wrong and my tongue is unruly, and I say something stupid, Christ is always true. Christ is always right. And the God of the earth shall do right. And the God of the earth is just and justifier of them that believeth in Him. And I drive past Maranatha Baptist Church and it says, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Won't you be saved? And I said to Debbie, I said, no, not the way you guys think of it. Because when they put that up, they put it up to mean that Jesus Christ took out every sin in the world. All of the sins of the world are suffered for, are paid for. And that's not so. He did take away the sins of the world, but He took them away in the sins of His people that He took upon Himself. Amen. He did not suffer and die for every person in the world. Because if He did, according to this book, every person in the world would be saved. And this book says they're not. And I'm going to tell you something. Somebody realizes what you're saying with stuff like that. You can see some fear in people's eyes. You'll see some anger too. That's true. But the anger is a result of the fear. It's a response. And then sometimes that's where violence comes from. Or threats of violence, Walter. We've seen that. It happens. But he tells us, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's the truth. We have so much more as believers than the unbelievers have. That it's not quantifiable. Because what we have is life. Life from God, life in Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, teaching us the things of Christ. And the world doesn't have any of that. Not one small part. And they get no comfort from the word of Christ preached. Not the truth of Christ preached. Now, they may get Comfort Walter from their BYOJ. Bring your own Jesus. They can get all kind of comfort from that because, see, I fulfilled his requirements and I'm good. I'm paid up, prayed up, packed up, and ready to go. We are not to be troubled by what goes on in this world and by how it affects us, and it does. Now, just for the viewing audience out here, I brought a newspaper. This is from yesterday. And the headline reads, Catholic bishops, more exorcists needed. Well, it is the 25th anniversary of that movie or something. I don't know. They had a class in Baltimore Friday and Saturday. In Baltimore. To teach people how to be exorcists. Now, the guy wrote in the article here, they're quoting this fella, learning the liturgical rite is not difficult. Because it's repeat after me. The problem is the discernment that the exorcist needs before he would ever attempt the rite. Duh. They had 60 bishops, or 50 bishops and 60 priests show up for this class because they need more exorcists. And the last statement in here, in this whole article, is the telling point. For the longest time, we in the United States may not have been as much attuned to some of the spiritual aspects of evil because we have become so much attached to what would be either physical or psychological explanation for certain phenomena. DiNardo said, we may have forgotten that there is a spiritual dimension to people. They have forgotten. Because it's not hard to learn a rite, R-I-T-E. It's not hard to learn anything you do by rote. Because you come, and I've been there, you come to these churches, and every Sunday you do the same thing, day in, day out. And if you go to Mass every day, you're going to hear the same thing every single day. It means nothing. Because what you're doing is, well, Christ spoke about, not that in particular, but it applies. Where he was talking and he said, use not vain repetitions. And he didn't stop there. He said, as the heathen do. That's what it is. Now, I'm not going to go into the need for an exorcism or the not need for an exorcism. I wish him good luck with that. Because I remember somebody doing something, we adjure you by this Paul that Peter, or this Jesus that Paul preaches, and they got whipped. Good luck to you. But yes, they have forgotten there is a spiritual aspect. They had forgotten the whole thing that if you are to worship God, you are to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And they left off the truth and forgot about the spirit. Yeah. Welcome to the real world. That's the way it is in 99% of the churches in America. Not just Catholics, not just Lutherans, not just Episcopalians who are big on the formalism and in the ceremonies. You can find it in Baptist churches. You can find it in Pentecostal churches. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But now, to get to this point that had been bothering me for a few weeks, where it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The hard thing for me to learn when I was young, a while back, was that in order to give an answer, Walter, there has to have been a question. See, I was answering questions that wasn't asked by people that didn't want to know the answer. And it come to find out, and it takes a little while, because you do. I mean, serious, you get a bit of zeal. I wanted to share some of this with some people. Actually, I want to share it with everybody. I mean, because this was new to me. And it felt awfully good, Mason. I mean, it felt awfully good to know a little bit about Christ. And it made me feel good, and I did want to share it. Problem is, people didn't want to share. People didn't want to know.
No, they don't
want to
know.
Because I found out, after a while, there aren't many questions. And generally, after you answer one question from somebody, they ain't going to ask you no more. Because they don't want any more of the answers. Be not afraid of their terror. Their terror sometimes shows up, however it manifests itself. And so, after a while, I begin to find out I don't get too many questions. I mean, there aren't many to start with, and then I get even less. And the third thing I realize, of the questions that I do get, there are not many good questions. But I'm to be ready with an answer anyway. And you're to be ready with an answer of the hope that lies within you. We are to be ready with an answer, and this answer is to come from each of us. It is an individual answer of the hope that lies within you. I'm the answer of the hope that lies within me, but you got to answer of the hope that lies within you. That's the way it works. I can't answer for the hope that lies within you, man. You know? I wish you could. I wish you knew. I have a good hope. But I can answer of the hope that lies within me. And that's my responsibility. But my responsibility is not that this answer does come from me, but this answer is not about me. This is the answer that says a reason of the hope. That hope's not me. That hope's not even close to me. It's so much better than me that it's good. It's good. Because this answer is to explain the hope that is in me. But then you turn around and you think about it for a minute, and the answer is about me. Because I have changed. I got hope now that I didn't have before. My attitudes have changed. Some of my answers have changed. I've answered questions before that, you know. Well, they call it one thing in the military, they call it another thing in proper company. But mostly it's just making stuff up as you go. But now I actually have an answer. that I didn't have before. And it does. The answer is about how I have been personally affected by the hope that lies within me. Because this answer of the hope that lies within you is Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the answer. Because if it's not Jesus Christ who has affected you, you have no answer. And I've been in that boat. I had my own thoughts. I had my own things that I thought about the way the world worked. Now, to be honest, when I was a young man going to school, I learned about evolution, but to be honest, I wasn't that impressed with it. Okay? Fine. You know? I had my own thoughts as to the way the world worked, basically revolved around the whole thing that, okay, toward the end, the good guys are going to win. That was my hope. That was all. I mean, seriously. That was my deep thoughts in the whole subject matter. Of course, I was only like 20 years old, you know, 23 when God saved me. So, I mean, I hadn't had a chance for a lot of deep thinking. I was too busy chasing girls and stuff, doing important stuff. But I was changed. I believe I was made alive by the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I changed. And almost everything I thought about changed. Because I became aware of a bigger picture, Walter, that I didn't know existed. That Jesus Christ came into this world to save his people from their sins 2,000 years ago. And he did it. He did it. And that's the answer of the hope that lies within me, is that Jesus Christ came and performed the work which the Father gave him to do. And when he said, and when he was on that cross and he said, "It is finished," it was finished. Amen. Whatever it was that he came to accomplish, he accomplished. Now, if you want to know what it was he came to accomplish, you can read it right in this book. Most people won't. Most people will come to a place and they will let somebody tell them what Jesus Christ did. He came and he took away the sins of the world. He did it for everybody. Well, where'd they go? Because all the sins of the world are gone, why is anybody going to hell? Well, everything except for the sin of unbelief. I've been in a church, heard that. No, unbelief's a sin. If he didn't pay for it, it's not going to be paid for, because he's the only one that can pay for sins, and they'll tell you that too. But they won't put it all together. Because theology has turned into what preacher says. Yeah. That's what it's turned into. Yeah, that's what passes for study. Yeah. Is what preacher says. Or them little pamphlets they give you in Sunday school that you go by in the guidelines. And then, Walter can testify to some of that, to where they don't go along with what preacher says. Which is why preacher never preached on Romans 9 when we were there, did he, Walter? There are times when I would really dearly love to have a good question, Walter. I understand, you know, where Early stand up here and he'd tell you, he told us that what he did was somebody asked him a question. he'd ask him, do you have an interest in this? Or is this just something you want to know about? Okay. Right now, I'm about at the point where I'll take a question just to answer. Because I haven't had a good one in so long. And sometimes you wish the people you care for would ask you a question. And sometimes they don't. And all you can do, all anybody can do, and what we are duty bound to do, is to be ready. To give an answer of the hope that lies within you. I could talk your ear off about that. But I'm going to let Walter up here because I don't want him to go to sleep because he was on third shift last night. Jesus Christ is my hope. That's it. The answer is that simple and that complex all at once. He came and he did exactly what he wanted to do. He came and he accomplished everything he wanted to accomplish. Anybody tells you any different, they're a liar. It's that simple. If they tell you that Jesus Christ came and he wanted to save every single soul in the world and wave their Bible right at you, the man's a liar. Because what Christ came to do, he did. He was God manifest in the flesh. He doesn't fail. I fail, you fail, everybody else fails. But he never fails. I have finished the work thou hast gavest me to do. He told that to God. He meant that. And when he said it was finished, it was finished. That's a good thing. Because what he set out to accomplish, he accomplished. Yes, and I'm glad he accomplished what he did. Amen. And I'm glad for what he's done to me. And he is the answer of the hope that lies within any of us, if you believe him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again to this day, this place, this time. But Lord, we're most of all thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and took upon him in his own body, on the tree, the sins of his people, and was forsaken by you for our sins that were in him. And that we might not ever be forsaken. Thank you, Lord, for the hope you have given us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.